on 1116 SEN. The Grippers with Simon Helmut and Braden Ingram for Brack & Co. If you're a developer looking for an agent that actually sells out a project, visit brackandco.com.au.
Yes, indeed, we are the Grippers. I'm your host, Braden Ingram. It is a cracking summer of cricket so far. The Australians are off to an absolute belter of a start. Our guest today is injured Western Australian bowler Nathan Rimmington. Of course, he plays for the Melbourne Renegades in the Big Bash League as well. He's currently out with a shoulder, which he did just before the Matador One Day Cup, but it'll be great to have a chat with him about the first day and the early part of the second day of the Wacker Test and just how the pitch is going to play for the rest of the match. Joining me, as always, is Simon Helmut. And Helmo, I tell you what, the Aussies off to a pretty good start. Welcome to you, mate.
Now, thanks, Brado. Fantastic start from the Australians, but I tell you what, Brendan McCullum, Can he get a toss right? I tell you what, they cannot just call it right. They took one wicket against the Cricket Australia 11. They took, what, six wickets
yep.
up in the Gabba. They've only taken two wickets today for about 2,000 runs.
Exactly.
They're in all sorts
they've
of
taken strife. 20 wickets for just over 2,000 runs this tour. It doesn't help. Blacktown hasn't really helped them out. That pitch, one for 503. Not a great start yesterday, and it's looking pretty ominous today. Brendan McCullum, of his 26 tosses as captain, he's only won the 10, so around about 40%, just over. Not a great strike rate as you wanted, and I believe he was going to call heads. I think that's what they said on the television, and then he last minute call decided tails. I think the fast bowlers would have been a little bit disappointed.
You what, they would have been disappointed, but Brendan McCullum would have been very disappointed with his fast bowlers. The fact that he took only had two slips at the 7th or 8th over of the day just showed that they just weren't precise enough. They didn't seem to swing the ball around, and you'd need to do that at the Wacker. There was good bounce and carry there. There was great opportunities to get early wickets on that ground. They didn't do it. They paid the price. A little bit of fortune went the Australians' way, but look, I just don't think they've got any sort of impetus at the start of their innings, and it's so disappointing. We thought that Southey and Bolt were going to be the ones to get them away.
McCullum almost went too far the other way from Brisbane. He was very proactive, very busy in the field. He copped a lot of criticism, and then today it almost seemed like he was a little bit stagnant. Not quite sure, didn't want to cop that same criticism, didn't want to rush his bowlers, and it's come back to hurt him in the end.
Well, it has, but he was let down. His bowlers just have not been precise enough. They haven't consistently bowled in those good areas. We talk about that at a junior level, let alone at international level. So, look, but notwithstanding the effort of David Warner, outstanding. Usman Khawaja, again, backing up his 100 from the Gabba. You'd say nearly missed out, making only 120 yeah. today. But, look, Dave Warner, he's incredible. He's putting himself in the record books every time he goes out to bat now.
Elmo, I've got to mention, of course, we're here for Brack & Co., a great man, Matty Bracken. You heard him off the top of the show. I'll mention his details, but if you're looking for a bit of help in terms of purchasing a house or anything like that, give him a call. Get in touch with him. It's, of course, lunch at the moment. Smokey Dawson, who is at the Wacker, will give us another update pretty soon. But one thing I want to mention before we do get to Nathan Rimmington, the DRS. It was a controversial decision yesterday. David Warner looked to be in a fair bit of trouble on 78 off the bowling of Trent Bolt. You'd think, I don't know if it came into the umpire's mind that maybe the Wacker, there's a bit more bounce, it was just going over the stumps. But the controversy is that it was umpire's call. It was originally given not out, so it stayed that way. Warner then goes on and makes another 160 lazy odd runs, as you do. Kills any chances New Zealand may have had at that stage. And the problem is, what some people might not know is that when we say it's hitting 50% of the stumps to be overturned, the ball has to be hitting more than 50% of the stumps. It is just that. It is the stumps, not the bales. So the bales don't come into the equation. So when you see the little the Hawkeye on TV and the ball hitting the stumps, when we say 50%, don't worry about the bales. They don't count. And that's, I think, a little bit confusing for most people, because you think, hey, the bales are part of the stumps. Surely that has to count, Helmo.
Well, maybe, but I tell you what, not only did McCullum not get the toss right yesterday, but every time they went to DRS, they seemed to get that wrong. And then when it got to a chance where they could have taken DRS, they lost all their vouchers.
Same as in Brisbane.
Brisbane. Until, obviously, then you get to the 80th, the second new ball. The way the Kiwis are going, there's going to be a second, a third, and a fourth new ball. But, look, plenty more discussion with that one over the summer. And they're still trying to get that technology right, I'm sure.
One quick one before we get to Nathan Rimmington. If, say, Brendan McCullum did it, almost did a Nathan there. If Brendan McCullum does...
He's retired, Nathan McCullum.
Exactly,
he's finished.
Exactly. So it's just the one brother we've got to worry about now. If Brendan McCullum does win the toss yesterday, and New Zealand bat. Is this simply just an amazingly good pitch? Maybe New Zealand wouldn't have been one for 400, but would they have been able to pile on the runs in a similar fashion to what Australia have?
Not necessarily confident there. The way we bowled up at the Gabba, we were meticulous in our areas, our lines, and our wicket-taking opportunities. So we've got three very different type bowlers. Got the pace and bounce of Johnson, the in-swing of Stark, and you've got that, I suppose, more consistent bowling now of Hazelwood, who was the question mark going into the Gabba test, and I was voting for my man Peter Siddle, but I think we've got different parts of our pace attack that seem to be working. Then you've got Nathan Lyon, who's taking wickets. So, look, I think the Australians, no matter whether they're batting or bowling, they're going to be in the box seat. I think they're just playing better cricket at the minute.
Of course, this is the Grippers, Braden Ingram and Simon Helmet with you here on 1116 SEN. A great sponsor, Bracken Co. Visit brackenco.com.au. Matty Bracken is the man down there. If you're a developer looking for an agent that actually sells out a project, give him a call. Or even if you're just looking for a great investment or even a cracking place to live, make sure you visit brackenco.com.au or give Matty a call on 0402 098 888. Well, now on the Grippers, thanks to Bracken Co. Helmet, we mentioned our guest before, and I believe he's one of your good mates.
Great fella, Nathan Remington. Got him over to the Renegades, I think, in year two. And look, just a tremendous person to work with. Gets every little bit out of his ability. I know Justin Langer loves him and be very frustrated with his injury at the moment. But Remo, great to have you on board, mate.
G'day, Helmet. How you going, mate?
Very good, buddy. How's the injury?
Yeah, it's coming along, mate. I think it's been about 6 weeks now. So it's been a little bit frustrating. I think I did it 2 days before the start of the one-day comp. So.
Oh, really?
Very frustrating to watch the boys run around. But, yeah, it's come along, mate, and hopefully ready to go for Big Bash.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, look, you're over in the West at the moment. I think your family are visiting family back over in Brizzy, where you're formerly from. But what did you make of the first day and obviously into day two today? The Aussies in great control.
Yeah, they're in a decent position, aren't they? It was just an unbelievable day yesterday. David Warner to hit 240 odd in one day. It was just amazing. Been on the end of a few long hot days at the Wacker, and it can be a lonely place sometimes. So you got to feel for the New Zealand bowlers. That wicket looked pretty flat.
Remo, lots talked about the Wacker pitch and the ground over the last few years has lacking bounce and pace. Has that been the case, or do you think there's a bit more zip and bounce that we used to have?
I've been here, this is my fifth season now, and the first couple of years I come across, it was quite slow.
Yeah.
And the sideways movement was there, though. I think the last few years, it's getting its pace back, but sort of once you get that pace and bounce, the sideways movement has been taken out of it a little bit. They take a bit of grass off, so I think it'll definitely be quicker today than it was yesterday, and it'll be interesting to see how the Aussie bowlers bowling it, for sure.
Nathan, Braden Ingram here. Thanks for joining us. What did you make of New Zealand taking the four seamers in? Is that usually a risky decision on the Wacker pitch?
Yeah, it can be. It can be, for sure. I think from a WA point of view, we've taken four quicks in the last few years. But we've had someone like Ashton Agar who can bat up the order and bat seven,
yeah.
Which is quite handy. For them, I'm not sure whether they've got that option. And when their spinner is sort of unable to tie down in the end, it puts a lot of pressure on those quicks. And unfortunately, they just haven't been able to tie up an end at all.
Obviously, you haven't had too much to do with the DRS, but looking from afar, some of the decisions today, Usman Khawaja would have been out if New Zealand had any reviews, and David Warner looked to be out in an LBW, but umpire's call kept him in the crease, and he went on to make plenty of runs. I mean, as a player, can you sort of sympathise with the New Zealand players in that situation? It's very frustrating, as you mentioned, on such a hot day at the Wacker.
Yeah, absolutely. They just have not had the rub of the ground at all this series with the DRS. I think one thing some of the commentators were making yesterday, a good point was whether it should be put back in the hands of the umpires. I think you'd get a far lot more decisions right if it was put in their hands. But having said that, when it was introduced, it was much made about it to stop the howlers, and it'd be interesting to see some statistics whether it is stopping them. for sure.
Hey, Remo, you obviously watched the Kiwis bowl yesterday. Were you surprised how quickly Brendan McCullum went defensive? And as you know, being successful over your last 5 years with the Whackers, you know, having three or four slips a gully, you know, for majority of the first session is most commonplace. Were you surprised with the defence tactics?
Yeah, for sure. You got to have catches behind the wicket at the Whacker. I think even when a guy gets away to a flyer, you can still get a guy out when they're in. You've got to have those catches behind the wicket. I was very surprised he had sweepers out on both sides early to Warner and Burns. Both of them had only sort of pierced the field a few times, and straight away the sweepers went out. Definitely got to have those catches behind the wicket at the Whacker.
Chatting with injured Western Australian fast bowler Nathan Rimmington, of course a Melbourne Renegades man as well. We'll talk about that in a sec, Helmo. But Rimo, I suppose looking towards the rest of the game, on the Whacker pitch, is there a way you can see New Zealand getting back into this game? You said it might quicken up going forward after day one into today and then forward from there. Is there any way that this pitch certainly will help them and be able to get anywhere near the Australian total to get it back into this match?
Well, traditionally, day two and three are best for batting, but the wicket yesterday sort of looked like a day two wicket usually. So I think with the weather... as hot as it's going to be, it's definitely going to crack up at some stage. So they're going to have to bat very, very well in their first innings. I can't see them hanging around in the second innings if there's cracks around. And obviously Lyon will come into his own as well. So I think the first innings is very, very important for them if they're going to save this game.
Moving to domestic cricket, Rimo, WA haven't had the season so far that they had last year as far as, you know, the one-day competition now into the Shield. How do you think they're going to stack up against the Vics? I think they're starting at MCG today. Obviously, you'd love to have been out there, but how are they looking to respond from last week's really close match against the Redbacks?
Yeah, it's such a tight loss last week, and they'll be definitely disappointed with that. I think our old foes, the Victorians, I'm sure they'll be getting up for that game, given what happened with our rivalry the last couple of years and the Shield final last year. So they'll definitely be up and about. And any time you walk out onto the G, you get yourself up. So I'm sure they'll be looking forward to hitting back.
And Nathan, your injury, where are you at? You did it just before the Matador One Day Cup. Are you going to be back in time for the big bash in the Melbourne Renegades?
That's the plan at this stage. When I first did the injury, it was just diving at training, and it pulled up quite sore. It potentially could have been a season-ending injury, but got some good news with the scans, and we got told about 6 to 8 weeks, and it's been 6 weeks now. So you never know. Potentially might be back for the last Shield game before the big bash, but if not, all efforts will be in for the Renegades.
And Rimo, this is your fourth year season with the Renegades. You enjoy you and your family coming over and spending Christmas and December, January in Melbourne?
Yeah, absolutely love it, for sure. It's good. Each BBL period is sort of a new adventure. You have a little few player movements here and there, and each time you go into camp, it's you look forward to getting to know some new teammates. And it's just... Big Bash is just such a great experience, and my family loves it in Melbourne, so it's a good time.
Nathan, last one before we let you go. I just want to ask you about the Whacker as a ground. Of course, Burswood's going to take over for most international games, also BBL. If you do eventually make your way back to the Scorchers to finish off your career or something like that, I mean, how much will it hurt given that the Whacker, it has such a renowned history that most games other than Sheffield Shield and the occasional lower-ranked test match, how disappointing is that for you as someone who's played at the Whacker for so long?
Yeah, it is disappointing from that point of view, but speaking to the fans, it's just for Big Bash, it's something that they really want and need. They sell out the Whacker, or the furnace, as they call it, every game, very, very quickly, and apparently it takes half an innings to get a drink, and refreshments because the facilities are quite outdated. I think something the fans want is a new updated stadium, so I think it would be really, really good from the fans' perspective. From the players' perspective, if they can get the wicket anywhere near similar to what the Wacker is, I think you'll have a few players on board.
Rimo, fantastic to speak to you. Hope you have a speedy recovery with your shoulder and hope you get back and return for the Renegades shortly. We'll be contesting against each other, the mighty Hurricanes against the Renegades this year. But, mate, wish you well and thanks for speaking to us on the Grippers.
Cheers, guys.
Some great insight there from currently injured Western Australian and Melbourne Renegades bowler Nathan Rimmington. Here on the Grippers, I'm Braden Ingram, joined by Simon Helmut. Of course, we're here for brackenco.com.au. Now, it's time for, I think, what's becoming one of the favourite part of the show. Is that the over? We've got to fly through it today, but there's a couple of interesting topics, and you've got the first ball.
Well, I got the first ball today. If DRS suggests that it's umpire's call, should the team keep that review? E.g., yesterday, Trent Bolt hit Dave Warner on the front pad, hit the bails, but it was umpire's call given not out, so it was given not out, and they lost that review. Should they lose it?
Look, we know they're all there for the howlers. We know, but in the 3 or 4 years, 5 years that we've had DRS, they're not used for the howlers. It's always, 50-50. This was probably more than 50. This was a 70 or 80% shot that they probably should have got. And in this case, I have to say, absolutely, they should get a second chance. It was umpire's call. There was very little in it. As, of course, we said before, it's 50% of the stumps, not the bails. Very unlucky.
It smashed the whole bails,
exactly,
didn't it, mate?
Exactly. And then, of course, Ridiculous. Usman Khawaja couldn't get him later and he would have been out. So, yes, second chance must if it's an umpire's call.
We don't always agree with you this time, mate.
Now, we've spoken a little bit about David Warner, but I want to ask you, will he be or is he? Is it too early to call him one of the great opening batsmen, Australian opening batsmen of all time?
I'm saying he's one of the greatest tri-format batters, opening batters that we have had.
So you're avoiding the question.
I'm not avoiding the question. I'm saying Test match one day and T20 cricket, his statistics would be better than anybody's. At the moment, his averages for a minimum of 20 games, has the second highest batting average here in Australia, behind, of course, the great Sir Donald Bradman. He's 29 years of age. He's got 6 or 7 years left in him for batting for Australia. I think he's already a great batsman. I think he'll be one of the great opening Australian and world batsmen when he finishes. Righto, ball number three to you. How disastrous is this West Indies tour going to be?
Don't get me started. I could spend 20 minutes on this. We know Phil Simmons back in charge.
He's back. Great. So they're fine, mate. They've got a rudder.
But go through this entire team, and most of the Australian public would not know any of these players. They'd know a couple of them. Maybe the captain, Jason Holder.
Who do you know?
Off the top of my head. They've got Jason Holder. Thinking of Ramden, still the keeper. I know Shy Hope, who's the opening batsman, because he's got an odd name, and Finey made a joke about it once. Shy Hope sums them up. They are a Shy Hope this summer.
Days of our lives.
So there's a couple more, but really...
Darren Bravo. You've got to get one of the Bravos.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
one of the. You don't know which one it
Darren,
is.
Darren, the left-hander, mate. He's a Trinidad Tobago Red Steel.
Because Dwayne's out here for the BBL. Chris Gayle's out here. They're all out. They're all going to be here.
Sam Badry. Lendl Simmons
they're
actually
all
on
here.
The list too.
Bishu as well. He's in the squad, I think. Yep. So they're all going to be here. Just, Chris Gayle's going to be hanging out on a beach somewhere in Sydney while the Boxing Day test is on, as you do. So it's going to be disastrous in short because, basically, the 2020 series in the United States had more of a crowd for that one game, 36,000-37,000, than I think what the entire Gabba test and also the South Africa-India test did. 16,000 on day one at the Wacko. Australia score 400 runs. Amazing cricket. David Warner scores a 240-odd, and we only get 16,000. I think this summer is going to be pretty dodgy for Cricket Australia. Now, I want to ask you, one of your men, 33 years old, I believe, Cameron White, he just
great
made
fella.
A decent score in the Futures
140.
League. But he's in the Futures League, Helmo. It's hard to see him. He's getting his spot back in anytime soon. There was talk that he could maybe be Australian captain a couple of years ago. Well, how's he going to get back into the Sheffield Shield team to start?
He'll get back into the Victorian Shield team, firstly, by Victorian players getting picked for Australia in Test match one day or T20 cricket. If he keeps scoring for Futures League, he'll still have an opportunity. However, he's definitely at the back end of his career, and he'll have to wait for an opportunity now, just like others had to wait for an opportunity while he was playing. So, look, it's tough for Cam at the moment. Fantastic he's gone down to Tassie in the Futures League and made 140. Needs to bide his time, but I still think he has a future for Victoria. Are we just touching the surface of the American market with these three T20 games? The Warne Tendorka games at, well, I don't know, was it Yankee Stadium? Who knows where it was?
City Field.
City Field. We've really scratched the surface here. Is this going to become huge?
I think so. I mean, ESPN, the second biggest market is America, who visits their website. ESPN Cricket Info is a massive cricket website. So, I mean, that suggests that there's certainly a market there. 37,000, we said, great crowd, a bit of good cricket, a bit of hit and giggle, we know, but they've bought out some absolute great guns. It's not like they've bought out four or five of the greats and then the rest just fill-ins, a couple of youngsters. No, I mean, they've bought in the absolute great guns. Obviously, at the moment, you'd expect most of the crowd are going to be the cricket fans in the United States, but 2020 is the perfect length for an American audience. I mean, it's probably even slightly shorter than baseball. It's probably shorter than the NFL, around about the same as ice hockey. It fits in perfectly, 2020, with that market. If that we can get a consortium together and go and maybe set up a T20 league there, it could go great guns.
Second biggest subcontinent support outside the subcontinent.
Yes.
Is in America.
Right. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? Last ball of the over. If you were New South Wales coach Trent Johnston last week when the game got called off at the SCG, and then when you found out that 6 points were going, well, not 1 point each.
I couldn't believe
that. Not 1 point each. No. 6 points, Vicks. We were 1 for 118 and Vicks got all 6 points. How big of the hissy fit would have yours been if you had been in that position?
He was a guest of ours, Trent Johnston. We might need to speak to him about how he felt, but knowing how he would go about his business, he would have been shattered. The fact that you're in your home turf. Now, a couple of shows ago, we bagged the crap out of
Blacktown
and other venues that weren't up to scratch. Now,
juggle.
The SCG, the second best ground in Australia, maybe.
Not
outside,
anymore.
Of course, the MCG.
Yes, of course.
And it wasn't the pitch. It was the surface. Obviously, footies had to re-sod it after the footy season, yeah, etc., after Sydney played in the finals. You would be absolutely devastated. So disappointing for the fans and for cricketers. Obviously, guys missed out an opportunity. Finchie got back in that side and didn't get a bat. So, disappointing. The coach would be shattered, but fair enough. The Vicks deserve to get the 6 points.
I'm told the ground resembled Huntingdale, a sand bunker at Huntingdale. That's how much they just got. No grass, sand will do it. Don't worry about it.
I wouldn't have been any good there, Raider. But that makes the over, mate. That was our quickest over, I reckon.
Yeah,
no sundry.
And it still took a long time. That is the show here on the Gribbers on 11:16 SEN. Smokey Dawson will be back soon with another cricket update from the Wacker. But we're done.
Catch you next week on the Gribbers. Go the game train.